Well, brothers and sisters, good morning. It is good to see you all this morning, especially on this All Saints Sunday, very, very special Sunday in the life, our life of the church. And we come to remember our beloved members, but also beloved folks in our own life, friends and family who mean so much to us. And we remember them and give thanks to God for them this morning. There's a whole lot of things in the bulletin that you can read through. I won't go through right now, but a lot of great opportunities and activities to experience in the next few weeks here at church. Just a couple of really quick little reminders. Today is the last Sunday that you can make reservations for the spaghetti dinner, and they are out there. I'm sorry. I'm glad you said something, Linda. Chili dinner. Gee. Sorry. Maybe, you know, you can throw spaghetti in chili if you're from Ohio. But I'm trying to back my way out of this, Linda. Anyway, today's the last Sunday to do that. Also, in Heron Hall, Matchstick Goods are in there. They are a ministry of common good, which is a part of Embrace United Methodist Church. They have all kinds of ceramics in there. And we want to invite you, if you want, to kind of get a head start on your Christmas gifting. You can go in there and check out all of their wares. And finally, just wanted to let you know, too, just pass the word, we are running a bus now to Wesley Village, and it will be down at Wesley Village at 9:50 to pick people up for this service. And we've already got some folks from Wesley Village here today. I'm really excited to see them. Now, I want to invite you now to stand and greet your neighbor and bless them with the peace of Christ. Hey, Ken. Hey, Tom.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Mina. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm still on. Let us pray together. And Jesus, may your Spirit walk upon us or among us this morning. May we feel your Spirit in very powerful ways. May we be reminded of the grace of life that has been given to us through your power. Lord, lift our hearts and enable us to celebrate this morning all that you have done for us and for those so close to us. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
song to the God that's before us, making all new, leaving nobody the same.
Heaven and earth join to worship, sing to the Lord for the one from whom you came.
Heaven and earth join to worship, sing to the Lord, praise the one from whom you came.
The book of Revelation teaches us many profound truths, one of which is that in heaven, worship is a constant. And what we learn from that, especially as we reflect on this All Saints Day, is that not only does the Holy Spirit join us in worship with all of those around the world, but also all in the company of heaven. That as we enter worship this morning, we join with all of those from the distant past in the recent present in worship of the one true God. And so with that spirit in mind, stand as you are able for our call to worship. For all the saints who went before us, who have spoken to our hearts and touched us with your fire, we praise you, O God. For all the saints who live beside us, whose weaknesses and strengths are woven with our own,
we praise you, O God.
For all the saints who live beyond us, who challenge us to change the world with them,
we praise you, O God.
Thank you.
In another act of unity with the company of heaven and the churches around the world, let us proclaim our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into the heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. If I can have all the kids come forward for a children's lesson. Hi, how are y'all? Good. When might you have a party or a celebration? My goodness, there's a bunch of you here today. This is awesome. When? A birthday? What? Yesterday was? Oh, your party was yesterday, so you had a fun time then, too. When else might we celebrate? We have birthdays. When else? Oh, yeah, we might have holidays like 4th of July or Christmas. We've got all, what about maybe when your team wins a game? Do you kind of celebrate that sometimes? Yeah. Well, God likes to celebrate, too. And can I get some helpers here? Yeah. All right. I've got some tiaras. Ooh, there's one. Yeah. Oh, and I've got something for all of you when you go back. I'll give them to Miss. You want a hat?
There's
a tiara. All right. Well, I've got some other stuff in here. I'll give to Miss Hannah, and she can take back for Children's Church and give you all too. So God likes to celebrate too. Did you know that? When Jesus is telling a story, and we're going to read about it later in church in the book of Luke, about a man whose son wanted all the money that he was going to get when his father passed away. And he wanted it early. And so dad's like, okay. And the son goes and he spends all that money on things he probably shouldn't have been spending it on. And he does some things with that money and he runs out. It's all gone. And the son is kind of embarrassed. He's like, well, I'm poor and I've spent all my dad's money, but I'm starving. My dad's servants eat better than I do. And so he decides he's going to, like, go back to dad. He knows dad's going to be mad, and he knows it's not going to be a good time, and he goes back. But you know what dad does? Dad is so excited to see his son. He runs up to him and hugs him and throws a party. Can you believe that? The son went and spent all of dad's money, and dad went and threw him a party anyway when he came home because he loved him so much. God celebrates like that too. Why do you think God might celebrate good things? What might something God be celebrating? Us? You're right. Does God celebrate when we decide to follow him? He sure does. Does God even celebrate the little things, like when you say you're sorry to somebody? Yeah. Does God celebrate when you do something to love someone? Absolutely. And we can celebrate that too. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? All right, can you all pray with me? God, thank you for loving us enough to celebrate all of the good things, even when we don't do what we're supposed to, even when we go and spend everything we shouldn't spend. Thank you for loving us anyway and celebrating us through all of it. Amen. All right, you all have fun in children.
It is indeed a very special day in the life of the church when we remember those of our congregation who have left us this past year. Now, we do not worry about them, for they are around the Lord's table. They are fine. Their only concern at this point in time is you, their fellow church members, the people whom they knew and loved and cared about, and they want the best for you. A candle will be lit for each of the ones who were members of our church this morning. Then at the close of the service today, there are candles on both ends of the altar, so that if you have lost someone in your family that you loved dearly, that meant so much to you, at the close of the service, you may come down and light a candle in their honor and memory. Would you join me now in the All Saints Litany in the bulletin? We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Adam, Abraham, and Sarah, to Paul and Phoebe.
God, we remember the ancestors of our faith.
We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who have gone before us in our lifetime. We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, and parents whose lives ended far too soon. We especially lift up to you, O God, the names of those in this community has lost in this past year, knowing that they are with you forever. As we read their names, we will pause after each one to remember, pray, and give thanks to you for their lives. Judy Brand. Brian Cathy. Carol Dunnigan. Walter Faulkner. Sammy Fields. Jim Hatfield. Mary Jo Holland. Ann Johnson. Kristen Kimbrell. Rachel Marshall. Brenda McDonald. Nancy McDonald. Mary Nell McCary. Paula Newsom. Sheila Rainey. Manny Robertson. Jerry Stovall. We also remember in silence, O God, those saints who have impacted us individually and have gone before us. We give thanks, O God, for all who have gone on to join with you beyond this life. We trust in the hope of resurrection and the promise of a new life in Christ. And we know that in our grief and celebration, O God, you are with us through it all, and we are not left alone. In the name of Christ, in love who lives forever, we pray. And now with all the company of saints, we pray the prayer that Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may have been wondering why you've been treated to these moments discussing various ministries in the church. It's because it is everyone's favorite time of the year, the stewardship campaign. Next Sunday is Pledge Sunday. We have another presentation that Joyce is going to give about ministries in the church. As Adam Brewer just said, God likes to celebrate. And the way we're going to celebrate all these fabulous ministries is through our stewardship. And I want you, until next week, to read the flyer that is in the bulletin this week. It talks about stewardship. And think about these presentations. Prayerfully consider the pledge card. And then next week, we'll be asking you to turn those in. Now I turn it over to Joyce.
Thank you. Have you ever wondered how these things occur? Who brings the donuts? A communion preparation and cleanup, gardening, taking care of the landscape, planting flowers, watering, chrismon tree decoration, storage, greeters each week, prayer groups. Many small groups at Southern Hills are active behind the scenes, and Dr. Bill Moore said in a sermon years ago that it takes worker bees in the church to support many of the activities. Here are a few areas that you might want to be involved, such as the flower ministry. The donated altar flowers are taken apart and put in smaller vases and then delivered to members who are shut in the hospital or in nursing homes. The backpack ministry provides a weekend meal and snacks for children attending several local schools. Martha's Hands involves many hands to prepare a meal for the family after the death of a loved one. We have meal preparation, setup, and cleanup. This is very helpful for the family to have a place to be together after the services. Hugs, crochets or knits, prayer shawls, lap blankets, I'll get it in a second. Lap blankets, baby blankets, and winter scarves for our graduating high school seniors. Share your talents and touch the lives of those going either through a difficult time in life or graduation or birth. As a side note, we meet tomorrow, so you're welcome to join us in the prayer chapel at 10:30. The Merry Widows gather for dinner monthly to support and enjoy one another. Maybe there are widowers in the group that would like to start a group for the men. The Southern Hills Foundation works to preserve and grow the investment that we have and to support Southern Hills needs that fall outside of the annual budget whenever they can. United Women in Faith and United Methodist Men are wonderful groups in which to get involved. It's a way to get to know people, other church members in smaller groups, and foster a feeling of wanting to help others and make a difference in their lives. The Methodist Men meet regularly and will soon be sponsoring the Myron Beale Toy Drive. The United Women in Faith organization is one that's dear to me. As a unit, we have times to socialize and fundraisers such as pecan sales, buy your chili dinner ticket out there. And with all of the funds that are raised, given to help women, children, and youth. Southern Hills has three active circles of women, one of which, Meaty Shotwell, which meets by Zoom. New Life and Sarah Bagby circles meet at the church monthly, and both support groups within the church and charitable organizations in our community. And here's a screenshot. Whoops. Here's a screenshot of one group providing dinner to the students at the UK Wesley Foundation. Another circle will soon be delivering over $400 worth of donated supplies to the Arbor Youth House, which helps abandoned and abused young people in downtown Lexington. These groups do not take a lot of time, but the results have a large impact for both our own church and the whole community. You can make a difference, and you will be blessed in return. Here's a screenshot of more ways that Southern Hills United Methodist Church members are involved in the agencies and groups in Lexington and in Kentucky. Well, we thought there was going to be, but that's okay. Thank you.
Our ushers are invited to come forward to receive this morning's offering.
Thank you.
Almighty God, pour out your Spirit upon us, these gifts of worship, these tithes and offerings for your kingdom and for your glory. We celebrate you today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 20. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money and while living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A wonder of a father and a father's love. And I always am quite stunned, actually, by the son and really the power of the words that the son was saying, not only in our time and in our culture, but also in their time as well. He was saying to his father, "I wish you were dead. Would you just go on and die? But in the meantime, give me what's due to me now. Give me my share." And I have never had a child say that to me, but I would imagine that would be like a fiery arrow shot through my heart in that moment. My goodness. I want to share with you a story of an amazing woman this morning whose heart was pierced by one of those flaming arrows, figuratively of such, when she learned that her own family had been killed. This woman's name is Dr. Charity Woodrum. And Charity lived at the time in the Pacific Northwest, I believe in Washington State, and she was married to a man by the name of Jason, and they had a small child, about 3 years old, I believe, named Woody. And they were just having a fun family day, and they were walking on the beach up there. And there's these kind of waves up there that can come along and surprise you every once in a while. And they're quite dangerous, actually, because you just walking along and just the regular old waves are coming in and out. And then these more powerful waves, these surprise waves can come in and grab a hold of you and just pull you back into the ocean. And on this fateful day, actually, Charity was walking along in front of her family and picking up shells and things like that. And one of those waves came in. They knocked her off her feet, but they swept both her husband and her son into the water, and they disappeared and were taken. And she was She says in her story, as she was sharing this, that she doesn't really remember much of that day, as a matter of fact. But what she does remember is when she was sitting in the ambulance and she heard the police and the firefighters say, well, we're abandoning our search. And it was like that flaming arrow in her heart. The grief that came after this for this young woman in her 20s, just starting life, I cannot imagine. I really, really cannot. She was an RN at the time. She had started back to school, and she was really fascinated with astronomy, and she wanted to study astronomy and become an astronomer. And then this happened, and it just hit her, just a great concussion in her life. And so she sat on her couch for a while, and her friends knew that they couldn't just leave her there. And so they surrounded her. They drew near to her. They cared for her. They gave her food. They got her out of the house. She says, started to teach her how to live once again, and in fact, even to have joy. Because she said, you know, it's awful easy to feel guilty about having a life or feeling joy after one of your beloved has died. But they drew near. She went on to get her master's degree and then a PhD in astronomy. And today, she's a postdoctorate fellow at NASA. And we have a picture for her. You can see her and all of her having fun there at NASA. But her area of interest, her area of research, is studying galaxies that die. And she talks about this in a podcast where they interviewed her, but you can learn more about it there if you can do a little search on her. They also have a documentary that they've done called On Charity and Hope. And so she studies these galaxies that are dying, and she talks about how they die for all sorts of various reasons. But basically, if I were to sum it up quickly, it would be this. The resources of the galaxy, the gases and the dust that often kind of come together because of gravitation to form new stars, it just runs out. And it just slowly but surely starts to dissipate and die. But fascinatingly, she's discovered something amazing. A few years ago at Christmas time, if you remember, they shot up a rocket into the skies, and it launched the James Webb Space Telescope, which is just one of these most wonderful cutting-edge telescopes to follow Hubble. And she learned, as she did her research, that actually galaxies can come back to life after it appears that they are dying. These redshifted galaxies that are just slowly but surely fading away, something happens. And she talks about all of those kind of things that can happen in her scientific paper, you know, and all of that. But for today, I just want to share with you one in particular, and it's this, because it means so much to our lives together. When one galaxy is moving through the universe and comes across this dying galaxy over millions of years, the gravitational pull between the two of them, just they kind of have an effect on one another. And coming near re-alivens that galaxy that was dying. It moves the dust around and the gases around, and it starts to form new stars again. It comes alive again because another galaxy came near. And thus it is for the prodigal as well. Kind of like a galaxy who all resources are gone. The prodigal had spent all of his resources, ill-gotten as they were. He was struggling to survive. And then, of course, the most horrific thing for a Jewish person at the time was he found himself farming with pigs, an unclean animal, living in and among with them, and even finding that the food that they were eating started to look appetizing in the midst of a great famine. And so he returned home expecting very little, didn't he? Very, very little. Now, here's really one of the most powerful things I think about this parable that means so much to me. Parker may, he would have some other thoughts on it as well, but for me, it's really quite interesting because I look and I read this parable and I note that the father sees his son from very far off. It almost would seem to me that the father spent many hours a day looking out on the horizon, hoping to see his son one day. And I'll be darned, there he is. He sees him. And then even breaking with tradition then and really kind of embarrassing himself for that era and for that culture, he runs out to his son and grabs him and then hugs him and starts to prepare a feast with the fatted calf. That's the best stuff. It's Chris, you know, in Louisville or something. It's the best, you know. No expense is spared. Not even those cheap old goats, no. It's tough meat. It's the best. A great celebration. My son was dead, he said. But now he is alive. Today, we remember the prodigal in all of us. And we remember how God has drawn near to us in our prodigal days, when we were dead, when we were dying, when we had used up all of our resources. You know your story better than anyone else except for Jesus. And he drew near to you and to all of us. And we who were dead were given life. And life abundantly, even beyond this realm of the shadowlands that we live in now. And today we celebrate those who have made it home, just like the prodigal did, was welcomed home with open arms. The father sees the prodigal in all of us and runs out to us, embraces us, and brings us home, creates a beautiful meal for us to sit down and dine with him. He spares no expense, and he celebrates us. We, too, today on All Saints Sunday, we celebrate Jesus, who drew near to us as well, came out of heaven, came to earth, took on our own flesh, and gave us life. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wondrous? I love to think about all of these things because the God who, with his very words and power, spun the universe into existence and formed the billions of galaxies that are in the universe, and is able to take a dying one and by bringing another near, brings it back to life, is the same God that comes near to us and all of our beloved and breathes life into them. And we celebrate that. For those who were dead are now more alive than we are. What's even more wondrous to me is how much more precious that you and I are to God as his beloved than these wondrous galaxies that fill the heavens above us. And so the feast is set before us. I love the imagery of the table and the candles that are around it, because they do mark the lives of our saints who have died in the last year, who we honor. It's a visual representation. It's a picture for our imagination to just imagine what the great table of the Lord must be like when they sit with Jesus at that table and God gives them the best meal ever. The best and only the best. And so here they are, and they're at the table. Later on, as you are receiving communion this morning, after you have been served communion and you have a moment to pray, we invite you to take one of the candle lighters at either side. You can light the pillar candle in each side with that, and then go and light a votive in memory of other folks in your life that mean a lot to you, that a father or a mother or a sister or brother, aunts, uncles, a spouse, a child, whoever it might be, we invite you to light a candle in honor of them. I also want to share with you that this is the Lord's table, and you do not need to be a member or a regular attender here to receive Holy Communion. This is for you, and God has given it to you, and it's His grace to give. I also want to share with you that we do have gluten-free elements if you need that. For your health, they are here. Just ask your server for those. And finally, we also just want to remind you, the ministry that you saw in one of the videos about the Wesley Foundation, we do give money to the Wesley Foundation every month. The money that we receive from altar gifts, like giving money and leaving it at the altar, goes to the Wesley Foundation. And so that's a way for you to give to the ministries of this church. I invite you to turn to page 13 and join along with me in the hymnal or on the screen as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord be with you. And lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks and praise to you, Father Almighty. For we remember that even in the Garden of Eden, when your prodigal children turned away from you and their love failed, even after you have created everything in this universe and spun it into existence so that Adam and Eve could look into the sky and see the wonders of your glory, they turned away. And yet the story does not end there, and we are reminded about your faithfulness, God, throughout all of time, how you spoke to them, the people, through the prophets, and you gave them the law, and that you drew near to them by tabernacling in their midst in the tabernacle. And so, with all of your people here on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. For we remember your ministry, Jesus, on this earth, and how you drew to those who were failing in their life, those who were close to death, those who were dying, those who were suffering, those in need of resurrection. And it is through the baptism of your suffering, death, and resurrection that you gave birth to your church, and you delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. We also remember that you promised to be with us always through the power of your word and through the Spirit. And now on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts through Jesus Christ our Lord, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes at final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit working in your holy church, all honor and glory and power is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I want to invite those who are going to be aiding and serving today as Eucharistic ministers to come forward. I also want to share with you that the ushers will help you all to come forward to receive Holy Communion. The way that we do it is the outer wings will go first, and you'll go around to the back and come down the center aisle. Just follow your usher's instructions. And after they are done, they'll invite the center sections to come forward into the middle. Thank you. This has been a very sacred moment, and truly, indeed, the Spirit of Christ is here in this place. I want to invite you to respond to God's gifts to us by standing and singing our closing hymn, Rejoice in God's Saints. Brothers and sisters, we who are these fragile vessels, if you remember from last week, we hold the power of God deeply within us, the power of life. And the persons in whom you have named before God in thanksgiving today, they are experiencing the fullness of there. And so go from this place, even with the bitterness of death may be on your tongue, knowing that there is joy, deep joy, beyond these shadow lands. A God with a table who is drawn near. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.